This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds. Welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the podcast that pushes play on your favorite movies and scenes that are just so much fun. And that's what this is all about, recreating that fun movie-going experience in your theater and what movies and scenes that show all that off. And that word experience, I think that's, I'm just over a year into doing this podcast. I'm still trying to find my way and find actually what I do. I know what I like to do, and the people that have been listening to me for a long time get it. But what is it? What exactly do we do? And with this podcast, and that word keeps coming back to me over and over, experience, and what experience we have with a movie or a scene. And I think that's going to be popping up more and more. I'm going to definitely be talking about it more in this week's podcast, but I think that's kind of where I'm leaning to. And you'll understand as we get going. But anyways, I'm the host, DJ, and you can reach me on Twitter at BrightsideHT, or you can email me at BrightsideHomeTheater@gmail.com. And of course, you can always talk to all of us directly by leaving comments on the website, BrightsideHomeTheater.com. There are spots for comments under all the episodes and under all the featured theaters. And this week's featured theater, we have from last week's guest, Lee Overstreet, that got put out yesterday at 4 o'clock, and you maybe have perused it. If not, I will have my comments on it. But it's week 50 of 2020, and this week we have another holiday special, Shazam in 4K. We'll get to that a little bit later as well. But first, let's get to what's been going on since the last time we talked. And it's been a little bit because I recorded with Lee a little early. So we've got a few things to get to here. We'll start with what I've been doing in my theater. As I said a little while ago, a few weeks ago, I am messing around with the Zapiti. I'm still popping around, and obviously I watched Die Hard. That's for next week's episode. Having a blast with that. Did some A-B-ing, and I'll have comments on that in the Die Hard episode. I also watched First Blood, and I watched it again because of something else we're going to talk about in a few minutes. But I also watched Black Panther in 3D and in 4K, flip-flop back and forth. And I really got to say, Black Panther in 3D is pretty much the way to watch it. It was very enjoyable. I really just meant to watch a few scenes here and there. Ended up watching the whole thing, really. More than the whole thing, because I kept going back and forth with the 4K. But Black Panther in 3D was a lot of fun. Let's get to a few comments here. Mark V, I talked to him he DM'd me a few weeks ago. I actually mentioned his DM last week on the podcast where he talked about Crawl, but I didn't talk about the entire DM. I don't know why. I think I just got all, you know, busy with organizing everything with Lee that I didn't read the entire tweet. And he actually had a couple of other movies, and he said, also, two fun movies to watch. These are not for reference audio or HDR visuals. They're just fun. And for the Star Wars nerd in all of us, Fanboys. And you've probably seen it, but if not, you'd get a kick out of it. Next is The Losers, action and comedy in one. One of my favorites. If you haven't seen them, then enjoy. And I hadn't seen them. I hadn't even heard of Fanboys. I don't know why. You would think I would have somewhere along the line. I checked it out. I haven't been able to watch it yet because I want to watch that. I think my wife wants to watch it with me. My son wants to watch it. So trying to organize everything, we want to sit down and actually check out Fanboys together. And I will check out the other one too, The Losers. That sounds fun. Action and comedy. Gotta love those. So thank you, Mark. Oh, and one other thing. He had a comment that I hadn't brought up. At least I don't believe I did. But he said, hey, bud, don't ever change how you say popcorn. It sounds like popcorn with your Bostonian accent. Now, I just read that as I would normally say it, but what he wrote was, don't ever change how you say popcorn, and he spelt it P-O-P, and then he spelt it out correctly with my accent, that is. It sounds like you say P-U-P corn with your Bostonian accent. And I thought that was funny. He DM'd me shortly after saying, I hope you're not offended. Of course I'm not offended. I think it's hysterical. Growing up here, you always hear about the Bostonian accent or the Boston accent, and you try to lose it, especially if you're doing something like this and your people around the world are hearing you or people around the country are hearing you, and sometimes you're embarrassed by it. But the comments I'm getting from it, I think are a riot because people are enjoying it. So, all right, cool. Popcorn it is, and movies, and whatever else I'm saying that sounds funny to you, I'm glad I'm entertaining in one way or another. I appreciate the comments, the compliments, whatever they are, the digs, they're a riot. I'm having a blast. Thanks, Mark. Next thing I'd like to talk about, and I mentioned this on Twitter, Tenet and 5.1 versus Atmos. And on Twitter, I said, I will have my comments on Tenet and 5.1 versus Atmos in this week's podcast. But if you've been listening to my opinion on the topic, you probably know how I feel. Christopher Nolan and Tenet has basically ended the discussion. And then Kilroy, at Kilroy was here on Twitter, replied, I was a little upset by the lack of Atmos until I heard slash felt the LFE on 4K UHD. Holy smokes. I would give it an 11.5 on the Richter scale. And that's just it. I watched this and the audio track on this and the audio track on Inception. Go back and listen to my comments on Inception when I talked about that movie. It's unreal. It has reference audio throughout that movie. Dunkirk, which I haven't done yet as a review, but that movie, reference audio, I've mentioned it many times and listeners have gone and listened to it and been like, yeah, you're right. It's an incredible track. None of these are Atmos or object based. Here's my opinion on it. I might be wrong, but here's the thing with object based, what it does for the producer, for the person putting the track down, is they can tell where they want the sound to make it sound like it comes from in the room, and they just move the cursor there in that square. And this is a very simple version of it, but that's what they do. They put the sound, say it's like supposed to be right in front of you, halfway across the room, and they can say it's there, and then they can move it. It's the algorithm. It's the program. It does that work for you. What Christopher Nolan's doing with 5.1 is they actually have to balance the speakers to get the sound to do the same thing. Okay. And when you're at home having Atmos, as I've talked about with other guests on this show, including Rob H, what Atmos does is if you have upper speakers, it will use those upper speakers to help move that sound around the room. If you don't have Atmos overhead speakers, which we call Atmos speakers, the overhead speakers, the Atmos program will still help use what existing speakers you have to move that sound appropriately around the room the way that they wanted. It really doesn't matter if you have overheads or not. You're going to get a better example for everybody in the room if you have overheads. I've said to people in the past, I've seen and heard the demonstration where you sit in a chair and you listen to an audio track and it sounds like stuff's moving around the room, and it was only two channels and it sounded incredible. It sounded like the best Atmos track I could have. And when I say I saw and heard that, it was a trick. They sat you down, they showed you all the speakers around the room, and then they played the track and you're like, wow, this is awesome. What kind of system is this? And what do I need to do this? Then they put on these lights and all the lights behind the speaker grills go on, and only two of the speakers had actual speakers. All the rest were just empty boxes. It was to trick you into thinking you're listening to surround sound. Why you need more speakers is because you're going to have multiple people in a theater, in your room. And unless you're going to lock your head in a vise and sit there, you only need two speakers. But if you start moving around the room or sitting in other places, those other speakers help everybody enjoy that environment. adding overhead speakers. All they do is add the littlest bit of extra being able to localize that sound. But if you're sitting in the sweet spot, you can get just as good a sound through 5.1. Listen to a Christopher Nolan track. But 5.1, you can have an awesome reference level track. It cracks me up that people see that Tenant is coming out and they say, oh, it's only 5.1. That's very disappointing. Do you not know his history? The Batman trilogy, great tracks, not in object bass. I believe most of them are in DTS. So if he was going to go to object bass, he would probably go to DTS-X. I mean, listening to Tenet, it sounds like it's in DTS-X. The way it's, you know, that bass throughout that movie is incredible. And the way the train scene early on in the movie, you got trains going down in different directions on either side of you. If you don't think that that's any better or worse than an Atmos or a DTS-X track, that is an incredible use of sound in that room to set you right in between those trains on that chair, like you're there. It's incredible. What he does every single time is with his audio tracks. That's part of the art for him. He's putting you in the movie with this sound. And the dialogue, I believe he's doing this on purpose because you don't need to get every piece of dialogue to enjoy his movies. Part of it is paying attention to the movie and you're frustrated and you're this or that, but at the end of Tenet on your first viewing, I don't care if you heard every single word, you have no idea what just happened. You have to go back and watch it. And on my second viewing and third viewings, I'm seeing stuff at the beginning that I'm like, oh my God, that's going to pop up later. And I don't want to spoil anything because this is not spoilers for Tenet. I'm going to do that later, probably next month or so. Let it have time to come out before I break this movie down. Getting back to the sound and 5.1 versus Atmos. You do not need it, but Atmos is nice. Object-based is nice. You can have a nice set of headphones, and it sounds incredible. That's only two speakers using an algorithm to create that sound and make it go all around you, make it sound like it's going over you, make it sound like it's going around you, all of that stuff. They have all of that, but yet you only have two things strapped to your head. You do not need it. It's a nice add. It's absolutely a nice add. We said on the Thanksgiving podcast, it's probably one of the last things you need to do is add overhead speakers. You can have a nice 5.1 system and it's going to rock your house. And I don't know, I could go on this rant forever because Atmos does not make the art. The artist makes the art. I tweeted that out a little while ago. If the artist wants to use something else other than, you know, an Atmos track, it's still a great piece of art. If it comes out crappy, well, then you go, well, you know what? Maybe if you could up your game a little bit if you use this, because it's a little bit easier to use. 5.1, it's harder to get it out that way for you and get it out as well as Christopher Nolan does. But to be disappointed, it's not an Atmos. I really don't think we're going to get anything better than what we've already got with his movies. So that's all I will say on that. Sorry if that was too long. All right, let's move along here because we've got more stuff to rant about too. Not really rants. We have new Twitter followers this week. No rants here. Thank you, everybody. Welcome. Here we go. Hypercatcher App, Bruce Martin, Silvino 562, John Z, Hell to Pay, Mark Hader, Offbeat Membership, Barry Hardrick, and Dan Bedard. Welcome to Brightside Home Theater Podcast and the home theater community. Thank you for following. Take a look around. Make yourself at home. This week's movie recommendations, we have 1941 from Graham Cole. He says, I added 1941 to my unofficial Christmas list. Now is a decent time to watch. And I'm going to try to get that in before next week. I don't know if I'll be able to talk about it in next week's podcast, but I'm definitely going to try to get that in before Christmas. I haven't seen that one before, so I'm kind of interested in that. All right, and that brings us to this week's email and Twitter comments, and we'll start with some emails. First up, we got an email from Carl K. He sent a link to an article about Steven Soderbergh on HBO Max, and I read the article, and I loved what he had to say, what Steven Soderbergh had to say. I'll have the link in the show notes. I loved what he had to say because he was taking the opposite view of Christopher Nolan, where Christopher Nolan is mad at HBO Max. And I just went on my whole rant. I love Christopher Nolan films. I love his movies. I think he's a fantastic artist. I just think he's wrong here on this HBO Max thing. And Steven Soderbergh is kind of pointing that out. Not kind of. He's flat out pointing it out. Definitely check out that article. What basically he's saying is HBO Max doesn't even want to do this, but this is the game right now. This is what they have to do to make some money. And he points out, like, they want to make $1 billion on Wonder Woman, but that's not going to be possible. Not in this environment. But someday they do want to get back. Warner Brothers, that is, does want to get back to making movies that would make $1 billion. That's the only way you can do it is in a theater, is to put it exclusively in a theater, and then later on you'll release it back to HBO Max and Blu-rays and all of that. That formula works. That's how you make $1 billion a movie. That's how Endgame can make almost $3 billion. That's how that works. The studios want to get back to that, and Steven Soderbergh puts a lot of cogent points into this article to say, like, calm down, people. This isn't the end of theaters. You know, studios want the theaters to survive as much as everybody else, as much as theaters do. But that doesn't take theaters off the hook, because this is a tough time and theaters do have to up their game if they want to survive. They do have to up their game because the landscape is changing. But the landscape right now is tainted by a pandemic. And that's not Warner Brothers' fault. That's not HBO Max's fault. They're doing the best they can. And I don't think they're trying to pick on the theater owners. But this is the environment we're in right now. Thanks, Carl. Thanks for sending that along. I really like that because it kind of coincides with my opinion. So it was nice to see somebody in Hollywood actually backing how we're feeling on this side. So I really enjoyed that. Thank you very much, Carl. That brings us to some tweets. So we got a tweet from WV Brew on Twitter. It says, at Brightside HT, what a Quello treat. Never heard of Brett Eldritch Christmas Gold. Puts you in the middle of a Las Vegas show. Big production, very classy. An evening with Brett Eldritch. I haven't had a chance to check that one out. I've been kind of busy, but that I love holiday stuff. So I'd actually check that out. That sounds like fun. My wife likes music too, so that's what we use that for. So that'll be fun. Actually, maybe a date night. Also from WV Brew on Twitter, at Brightside HT, just got to say, worst 4K disc I've ever watched. By far, audio, totally lifeless video, not much effort either. And he sent that along with a picture of Total Recall, the new 4K disc. And I disagree. But here's the thing. It's not the worst 4K disc, because, in my opinion, because it's doing what it's supposed to do. It's the best it's ever looked. It sounds the best it's ever sounded. But he is right. But if you come at it thinking that this is horrible, you're going to be able to pick out it's horrible. In my opinion, one of the reasons why this sounds like it's horrible is there's almost no ambient sound. Go and watch First Blood. That's one of the reasons I put it on. Same studio, Kuroko Studio. Same makers, too. Same everybody. So watch these two movies. I think they're almost 10 years apart, whatever they are. They're pretty far apart. But the sound in them is very similar. Back then, there wasn't a lot of ambient sounds in these movies. So watching Total Recall, everything sounds flat. The dialogue, everything is just, it's crystal clear because it's the only thing. There's no ambient room sounds. If they're in a room, there's no ventilation noises. There's no anything. So everything sounds like weird. It sounds flat. Because then if you go and you put on a movie like Tenet, there's even their quietest scenes, every speaker is engaged. So if you're used to watching 4K movies like that, and I know WV Brew watches a ton of movies, yeah, it's going to sound horrible. But that's all, they can only reproduce what is there. So if there are no ambient sounds, and go back and watch the disc, I think you'll understand what I'm saying. It's like there's nothing going on. There's nothing to put in the other channels. When there are explosions, they did what they could. There isn't a lot of low frequencies. Maybe they could. I don't know if they remastered this. Maybe they could have added more. They could have redone it. That's not really a remaster. That's redoing and re-recording stuff and putting in extra stuff. But they're just taking what was given to them and they're reproducing it and remastering it, and that's it. But if it's not there, I don't know. Can they go back and do that? It's not like the new Lord of the Rings where Peter Jackson just sat down and they redid everything. I don't think that's what's going on with Total Recall. It's Total Recall disc is just a suit taking what is there, cleaning it up and reproducing it. That's it. So I think it's the best it's looked and it's the best it sounded. But it's going to sound weird compared to what we're used to with a 4K disc. Let me know, WV. Let me know what you think of that. Because I actually enjoyed it. I watched it, then I saw yours. I do also know that you like to put out, you like to check out the specs and stuff. And this is where we get into that experience. What I like to do with this podcast is I like to experience the movies. That's what this is about. I don't put like sound meters on it. I'll check my room and make sure everything's right, but I'm not going to say like this is a little low. I'm going to watch a movie and I'm going to say, did that blow me away? Did I enjoy that? Did I have a great experience watching this movie? And Total Recall, I did, because I saw this in the theater. I was 20 years old when this came out. I enjoyed this movie. I have great memories for that. And that's part of it. That's part of a lot of like why Star Wars is such a great memory for me, and other people completely dislike the movie. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's more that goes into our home theater experience than the actual, you know, the digital readout of what it says on your TV when you hit info and it's like, well, it's coming in at this kilobits and this and this and this. It's like, no, shut that off and just let the movie wash over you, like Lee and I talked about last week. Just let it wash over you. Are you having a good time? Is it distracting to you? And I know what your answer is going to be, WV. You're going to say, well, it was distracting to me because it's not what I expected. And that's fine. That's fine. But I really enjoyed it. Because I really enjoyed that experience. Okay, let's move on. Craig DM'd me this question on Twitter. Hello, DJ. I have a quick question for you. I have always watched downloaded MKV movie files. I make sure I find the highest quality files, which are usually 20 to 40 gigabyte files. My question is, am I missing any quality not having the Blu-ray disc played on a high-end player? I will be uploading images of my theater soon. Thank you. Thank you, Craig. I'm looking forward to seeing your theater. And I replied to Craig saying I will elaborate on the podcast, but my quick answer was, depending on your theater, it's hard to say what you're missing. And what I mean by that is you're only as strong as your weakest link. So you could have a $40,000, $50,000 projector, but if you have a low-end Blu-ray player, you're only as good as that Blu-ray player, what it's going to put out. The projector can only do so much. So you're only as strong as your weakest link. So as far as your MKV files, you're saying you're downloading 20 to 40 gigabyte files. A 4K file is going to be probably 40 to 80 or 50 to 80 gigabyte files, mostly in the 60s. So yeah, right there, you're not getting the full experience. There's going to be more information. What kind of system are you running to play these files? Are you running it through like an Apple TV? Are you running it through an NVIDIA Shield? There's so many links in the chain to say, what are you getting the best possible? I will say that the best possible is probably a Blu-ray player clean into your monitor or projector. In my opinion, that's the best way possible, is to have a whatever you can afford. The highest end you can afford player and the highest end you can afford monitor / projector. Anything after that, you're dealing with some other variables. There's too many other variables. But here's where I get back into that experience thing. If this is what you're used to and you're really enjoying it, then that's great. Then you're enjoying that. If you're like me and you're always looking around the corner, always looking to improve that next link, then yeah, there's always room for improvement in anything you do. And I don't care how much money you've spent and how great your theater is. There's always something you can improve to up that experience. That's part of the fun of this entire hobby, is it's never over. You can never spend too much money. The higher you go, the increments get smaller and smaller. So it's all about the experience. It's all about what you want. If you want to improve, I would say that yes, there is room for improvement with your MK movie files. You are missing a little something, but if that's what you're used to, then I'm sure you're enjoying it. But if you want to enjoy going down the rabbit hole of upgrading, there is room for improvement. Last thing before we get to this week's featured theater, Martin on Twitter, hey, Brightside HT, would love to hear your thoughts on this article. I know you chimed in on the topic before. By the way, listen to your episode, and I do have PC headphones that do 7.1 surround. So that last part is in regards to underwater. He's the one that mentioned underwater. And I was wondering how he listened. And underwater it's 7.1 on disc. But the thing with headphones, Martin, is you don't get that nice bass. You don't feel it in your chest. You get some nice surround sound and there's some bass in the headphones, but that visceral bass that you can feel go through you, comes up through the seat, that nothing like it. And there's no substituting that with headphones. And what Martin would like to hear my thoughts on are an article in Vice called "The Movie Theater as We Know It is Dying. We Can Make Something Better. The pandemic has forced movie theaters to change or die." And I've read the article, and it's basically another version of what we're all talking about here. Like he said, we've mentioned it before. I mentioned it earlier in this podcast, but this is a little bit different in that what I wanted to say about this one is this article will be in the show notes as well. Check this out. It's a little lengthy, but it goes through on all the different things and ideas, or not all of them, but a few different things and ideas on things that theaters can do to survive during the pandemic, what they can do when they reopen. And I've had listeners tell me about their theaters, especially since the Thanksgiving podcast, about the theaters that they love to go to. And one of the comments that seems to be prevalent is these theaters are doing things that they love. It's not about the movie. The people that are attached to a specific movie theater, they love the experience they get from going. There's that word again, the experience. They love the experience they get from going there, but nobody has said like the actual movie that they saw. They keep telling me that they love going to this theater because of this. Whether they have showcases where they show a bunch of movies, or they have events where they have movies, or they'll have like, in one instance, it was like a Quentin Tarantino weekend, whatever it is. But these people are talking about theaters that they can't wait to be able to get back into because they love going to that theater. But it's not about the movie. It's about that experience of going to that specific theater. And my reply to all of these different people are, we need that in more theaters. And more often than not, what you hear is somebody say like, oh, my local theater stinks. If I want to get a good experience, I've got to drive like an hour and a half or 2 hours, or there's nowhere around here to get a great experience, whether it's a Dolby Cinema or an IMAX experience, or just a really nice theater that treats you well and makes you want to come back. You don't get that. It's not a personal thing. It's like even my theater here, it's like nobody knows you. But if you add that personal touch, with which I've heard from listeners have said to me, I get that personal touch when I go there, or I know the guy, or I know this, whatever it is. But it's the theater that draws you in. So Christopher Nolan, I get it. You're trying to support them. And I was in your camp. Believe me, before this pandemic, that's how I felt. And this article kind of points out that. They kind of point out how Christopher Nolan is trying to help. But there's a time and a place for it. And Christopher Nolan saying, hey, we've got to get back to the theaters. Theaters need to open up. But we're not 100% sure. And, you know, the science on one side of the argument says one thing. The science on the other says another thing. Well, really, do you want to risk, you know, lives on your bet? I don't know. It's like, I mean, I'm willing to risk mine. I think that if I go to the theater, I'm going to survive, even if I caught something. But I don't know. But at the end of the day, God forbid I died going to see Wonder Woman in a week or so. You know what? My family would be very upset and they would be very sad, but they would also know I died doing something I loved. If you could even prove that's where I got it and died from it. I don't know. But that's grim. I get it. I'm sorry to say that, but that's the way all of this is going, and theaters are going to have to do something because, you know, the curtain's being pulled back. We're seeing everything and we're seeing what life is going to be like if they go day and date. And it's scary to the theaters. But if they want you back, they have to do something other than relying on the movie itself. Because the opinion I'm getting is people love going to the theater because they love that particular theater. And it has a great experience there, regardless of the movie that they're going to see. So that'll be it on that. This is going to be a long podcast. I'm sorry, but I'm hoping you're enjoying it. And it's just me. Imagine if I had somebody else to talk to right now. All right. And with that, let's get to this week's featured theater. We have Over Theater from Lee Overstreet. And very happy to have this. Lee, I can't wait to get to these pictures. But let's get to his equipment, and I'm leaving it on the website in exactly, not exactly, but some of his comments, we'll get to it. Here we go. So he has, for a TV, he has an LG 65-inch OLED 65B8PUA. Lots of letters there. AV receiver, he has a Yamaha RX-A1070. He has an old Blu-ray player. His words, not mine. An old Blu-ray player, Sony BDP-S560. He has an old game console, the good old PS3. That's two PlayStations behind. I left all that. This is how he wrote it. I love it. I love it all. He has an old Comcast cable box, Motorola DCX3400. He has a Nintendo Wii, a Sony Hi8 VTR EVO 55H. He has a JVC SVHS, that's Super VHS, VCR SR S9500U. He has a Harmony Unified Remote OR004. And he wrote, that's an older remote. They don't even make it anymore. And it has no LCD screen. He has, for his left and right speakers, he has Yamaha NS-A1738 four-way with 15-inch side-firing woofers. And there's your argument that he had for years with Tom Andrey, why he didn't need a subwoofer. When somebody has two 15-inch side-firing woofers, what do I need a subwoofer for? Well, he learned, and he learned the fun way. I wouldn't even say the hard way. He learned the fun way. For his center channel, I love this. He wrote this. A Yamaha, I don't know. I'd have to dismantle everything. So he has a Yamaha center channel. I love it. Love you, Lee. Surrounds, he has a Yamaha three-way 8-inch bookshelf NS6390s. So let's get to these pictures. First picture here, we have very welcoming, very unassuming room. Here we go through the doorway into his living room. I wanted to include this because it's the theme of this theater. I love this. We get into the room and we look at another unassuming picture. Maybe you don't notice. Maybe you looked at these yesterday and you've already examined and you know everything I'm probably going to say, but pretty unassuming in this picture here. Just a nice couch, a couple of lamps, you know, looks nice, clean room. Move down to the next picture. Very unassuming, but unless you look down to the right in the little bottom corner there, things are starting to peek out. There's even something peeking out in the previous picture, but we'll get to that in a second. If you found it on your own, good for you. Scroll down. Now, kind of an unassuming picture, but what do we see here up on the bookshelf? And you scroll down to the other one, and that was in the first picture that we looked at, not the one where we're welcoming into the room. But we see he has a movie collection here, but his surround speakers are up in the bookshelf. Kind of stealthy. I love it. So you have your surround speakers here. So we're starting to see that, yes, he does have a home theater. The next picture is a beautiful picture of Nicolas Cage pillow with looks like Elvis hair, but it's actually one of those frumpy things that you put on your bed or whatever to sit up. So we have Nicolas Cage, who did play Elvis, with what looks like Elvis hair. And those are right next to his extensive album collection that he has sitting there. Picture after that, apparently he's a drummer because he included this in his pictures. Very nice setup. Here we go. And if you look next to the drums, you could see one of those 15-inch side-firing woofers there. Very nice. All right, here we go. We're getting into the theater. That's the 65-inch TV with it, everything on display. Beautiful setup. Next picture, very much the same. Then we get into the side. We get a side view. We get that one of those SVS SB 2000 Pro subwoofers. And actually, now that I say that, I forgot to say that on the in the notes. I forgot to mention that before I got to the pictures. He has two SVS SB 2000 Pro subwoofers. Sorry about that. But there's one of them, and I kind of mentioned earlier, you'll see it peeking around the corner in the back. If you scroll back, you'll see the other one is in the rear channels, or in the back of the room, diagonally placed in the room. Great bass. And that's one of the issues with having those 15-inch side-firing subwoofers. You can only place them there. You can't get your best bass response by moving your sub around the room if they have to be attached to your two speakers that have to be on either side of your screen. So it kind of inhibits the best bass response. But adding these two bad boys, they're going to help. The next picture here, we have a shot of his TV stand. And in the bottom left corner of the TV stand is Nintendo Wii. We see the Sony Hi8 VTR EVO 5500H. Or 550H. And he says he thinks this is the JVC Super VHS VCR still there, the SRS 9500U. And I do believe that's it in there. I'm not sure, though. Not 100% sure. I don't know what the front of that panel looks like. But then you scroll down, you get a nice direct shot of what it looks like sitting on the couch. Screen looks big, really big from there. And then the last shot, beautiful. Now this, let's get back to that word, that experience, the environment, all of those, everything. Look at that Christmas tree, beautiful room. I love everything. I love the stealthy look as you come through the wall and then you turn as you're coming through that door. And we're on the last picture here. As you come through that door and you look to your left and you see the setup, but then the engagement that people must be shocked because they don't understand, if they haven't heard this before, they don't understand the bass response you're going to get once you close that door. And this room must rock. And it's a 5-1 system. Very nice. Very good setup. And sitting that close with your surrounds right there, this is a very clean setup. Very nice. I am sure Tenet sounds great. I'm sure Inception sounds great. I'm sure Dunkirk sounds great. And I'm sure any Atmos movie will sound great if he has an Atmos, if he upgrades to an Atmos. You don't need to put the speakers in this room. It's going to sound great. Someday you want to upgrade, you'll get that slight uptick I talked about earlier. All right, enough of that ranting theme. Let's get to some holiday fun. Before that, if you'd like to have your theater featured on the podcast, send your pictures to brightsidehometheater@gmail.com. And a list of the equipment that you have. And like I said, send me the pictures and we'll go over the environment, the experience that you get in your room. I'll do my best to portray what I see out of the environment and the experience you're getting out of your room. I'm really enjoying all of these theaters. I know you guys that own them are really enjoying them, having great experiences, creating great home theater environments. I'm just using that word to death this week. So let's get into my theater. Let's get into Shazam and 4K. Let's get into that holiday experience, that holiday environment. I love this movie. I'm not going to bury the lead. Had a blast with it. That's enough of me ranting. That's enough of this. Let's get into the fun. Let's have some fun. Let's get into Shazam and 4K.
David Batson. I choose you. as a champion. Say my name so my powers will become yours. Shazam.
Wait, for real?
Say the key!
Say my name.
Crazy, right?
What are your superpowers?
Superpowers, dude? I don't even know how to pee in this thing.
This is proof of authenticity. Super strength. Electricity manipulation. Hyper speed.
I'd like to purchase some of your finest beer, please.
It's Captain Sparklefingers.
No, it's not. That's not my name.
Chosen one.
Oh, you're like a bad guy, right?
You literally did the opposite of what a superhero is supposed to do.
You're him. You're the hero.
You're welcome for not getting robbed.
I'm Batman.
Get him, Batman!
How old are you?
Basically 15.
Did you see that?
Yeah, you electrocuted a bus and almost killed these people.
And then I caught it!
You can leave tall buildings in a single bound.
All right, let's get into another classic holiday movie. All right, maybe not so much classic. It's only about a year and a half old. And to be honest, I haven't seen this movie in 4K. Last time I watched it, I didn't have my 4K projector, so it was over a year ago. And it didn't disappoint. The 4K on this, we'll get right to the picture, is really, really nice. The 4K HDR, lots of extra detail and real nice crispness compared to the 1080p. Either the 1080p disc or HBO Max. I went back and forth with all three for the kind of the opening scene and then jumped through a few other scenes in the movie that I thought would really show the difference. So I checked it out and it's, you don't get the same gradation of shading that you can get with the 4K disc. Even the HBO Max looks pretty good. Even though HBO Max right now is 1080p, but from what I understand from listening to other podcasts, they are broadcasting it in a higher bit rate than normal, than other streaming services. So hopefully when they come out with their 4K, maybe they could have the best 4K if they keep this up. You know, if they keep up that bandwidth, that would be pretty cool. But the 1080p disc is a slight downgrade. It's funny, when you jump back and forth between the two, it's like, it's almost like there's a slight, like your screen's a little bit dirty. But if you weren't going back and forth, they all look really good. I think it's a well shot film. I think the sound is really good in both back and forth. But of course, it's kind of the same thing with the Atmos. It's just not as dynamic. But if you're not flipping back and forth, it's gonna sound really good. I mean, things are coming up. Streaming is getting really good. And as long as you don't own discs and all you do is stream, you're getting a really good quality that you know, it's all relative. So if you don't have anything to compare it to, it is going to sound really good. And it's a really good environment. It's of a good movie theater environment. So either one, you really can't go wrong, but there is an advantage to the 4K disc and there's no doubt about it. The colors are just more vibrant. They jump off the screen. And like I said, when you get into some of those darker scenes, you get a much better gradation in the grays. There's one scene I'm thinking of in particular that I'll talk about in a little bit. But even the Christmas lights on trees and stuff, or the city lights, the light pop off of the screen, all the while you're getting, you know, nice, deep, dark levels, but you're also getting that bright level. And that's really what HDR is. You know, it's the difference between, it's not that you can put out a bright image or a dark image. It's to be able to do both. And again, I've got a projector and I can't do HDR like an OLED can, but again, it's all relative. My projector, that's all I know. And I don't go running upstairs and watch it on an OLED and see, oh yeah, yeah, that looks way better. I was like, why would I do that to myself? I love my projector. I love my giant screen and you live with it. But yeah, so the darker scenes in this movie, like outdoor at nighttime or in a wizard's lair, for instance. You know, this is spoiler free, but there is a wizard in this movie. And when we're in the wizard's lair, the shadows and the details that are on structures or on sidewalks at nighttime, I'm thinking of another scene. Really, really great gradation and really nice color. It just, there's so much more detail, so much to take in, plenty to check out throughout the movie visually. And then the sound of Dolby Atmos, which, by the way, you get Dolby Atmos on the 1080p version too, on the disc. So obviously on HBO Max, you don't get that. The sound is tons and tons of fun throughout. Bass, really, really great pace through this movie. This is what a movie with lightning in it should sound like. And yes, I'm talking to you, Thor Ragnarok, God of Thunder. This is what Ragnarok should have sounded like. This is what dynamic sound is. And when you watch this movie, if you haven't seen this movie and you throw this disc in and you put it up to reference level, the sound in this movie is what dynamic sound is, because it goes from 0 to 100 like that. It just, there's some nice punches every single time, you know, Zachary Levi says Shazam, there's a boom, and it's a visceral feeling, and it happens throughout this movie. Anytime there's a collision, anytime he says Shazam, I mean, it's just tons and tons of bass like that. And you also get the nice low rumbles and vibrations and, like I said, and big punches to the chest. So you get the full gamut of bass throughout this movie. Dialogue, very good, very clear throughout the movie. There's a scene I'll talk about where they actually bring the sound down so that you can hear the dialogue clearly. And that's really nice, because then when the sound that I'm talking about comes down, you realize how much that's filling the room. And it's always fun when they do that, when the sound comes down. And I'll talk about that when we get to that scene. But discrete effects all around the room, that's great. The one thing I will say is they do use the overheads, but it's not a ton of overhead usage, not a ton of discrete overhead usage where you would say, like, if somebody asked me what's a great Atmos movie, and I usually go to something that has some good overhead. And this one here, while I know it's being used, it wasn't like a ton where you go, wow, that was awesome the way like the anything happened over your head. But the way the sound in this movie is being used, that clearly they're using the overheads. Clearly Atmos is engaged here, because it is filling your room and everything around you. Just a really, really good sounding movie that is again, just much like the picture. There's so much to take in from beginning to end. And I have a ton of scenes to get to. But there's even more, because, I mean, at every 30 seconds, I could say there's another big bass shot. It's like, I mean, there's a ton of them. So from the picture and the sound, this movie is larger than life, just like any comic should be. A lot to take in, which makes it perfect for multiple viewings. And I'll definitely be adding this to my Christmas traditional rotation next year. I will definitely be watching this again. It's just a fun movie too. It's a great story, great home theater environment. Definitely one to check out. So popcorn's popping. So that means we're getting into spoilers now, and we'll start getting through these scenes. So as always, we start with the opening, and we open up with the DC logo, and right off the bat, we get those nice rumbling bass rumbles, you know, that vibrating your seat a little bit. And the scene plays out, we get to 1:53 and go time, and this is where, you know, the car accelerates, and a little boy in the back who ends up being Dr. Savannah. The car starts accelerating and we get a cool rush of sound just filling your room. And speaking of cool rush, the exterior of the car starts to freeze. So you can start to hear that freezing effect all around your room, which is really cool. It's brief, but it sounds like your walls are starting to freeze all around you. And then at 4 minutes and 18 seconds, we have the seven deadly sins. And this here is when the sins start speaking and it's all over the room. And the bass that's involved is awesome. It's part of their voices, but it's visceral. It really puts those voices in you. You can feel it. And it's like, as they talk, it's like parts of you are vibrating. It feels like they're talking and it's going inside you. It's really, really cool. This is one of the scenes, like all the way to this point, I went back and forth with all three platforms, from the 4K, HBO Max to the 1080p. And you can tell the difference between the two, especially, well, obviously between the Atmos and the HBO Max. It's just streaming and it's not Atmos. It's just going to sound flatter. It just doesn't have the dynamic range that the discs have, the Atmos track. But the picture, this is where you really got to flip back and forth to see the difference. But you can tell the 4K has just got a hair more detail to it. And then you start to look in the shadows, and especially in the shadows of the deadly sins on the wall and the brightness. Another one would be the father in the front seat in his jacket. And the 1080p versions, it just looks like he's wearing a black jacket because everything's crushed together. You go to the 4K version and you get the nice HDR and you can really see the difference in the jacket has different tones to it that really show up on the screen. That one was super obvious, but then you can see more stuff, like I said, when you get into the wizard's lair and you see the deadly sins on the sides and all the detail that's going on there. And Dr. Savannah, or the little boy who is Savannah, you see him, and his hair is really dark, but the backgrounds, it's a little bit more grayed out, but it's supposed to be, and it's nice depth of field. That's the best way to put it. There's a better depth of field in the 4K one because the dynamic range that you're getting from all of these grays and the different colors. So it's pretty cool. But obviously, you're going to prefer the 4K over the other two. All right, moving along, we have at 8 minutes and 2 seconds, One Soul. Find one soul that is worthy. This is when Shazam, the wizard, actually slams his staff, and there's an awesome explosion of bass and the sparks that fly off, too. Those look cool in HDR. But this leads into the title screen, Shazam, and some really nice shots of Philadelphia. They look really clear and in lots of detail that isn't as prevalent in the 1080p version. Also, the bass in the song, It's the Real Thing, I think has a really low note that tickles your seat ever so slightly at the reference level. It's a pretty cool effect. You'll feel it in your seat. It's not like, it's one of those things that you really have to have it at reference level to get this, because otherwise it'll just go away. If you go down like 5-10 decibels, it'll just go away because there's not enough power. But when you have it up, you can just feel it in your seat. It's very minor, but it's there, and it goes along with the music. It's in the song. Pretty cool. At 21 minutes and 4 seconds, a TV speaker. Here they're having a teleconference. But what I thought was cool is that when we first come into the scene, we hear a voice that doesn't sound as clear. And it's like, it's off camera and it sounds like it's a bad speaker and it's just a standard TV speaker. But as the camera pans over, we find out, yep, it is a TV speaker and the voice is coming from the cheap TV speaker. And the voice in the TV pans correctly right across your room, and even when the camera changes angles and changes shots, the voice bounces to where it should be in your room in relation to the TV, which was really cool. But it was also cool, not just the pans, because you know how much I love pans, but not only that, but I love the difference in sound from the speaker and the woman that's actually in the room, and then that, you know, crackly, crappy TV speaker that's playing. It was a pretty cool effect. at 24 minutes and 28 seconds. This is real. You can't believe any of this is real. Boom. Really cool deep bass that shakes you in your room right after the poor woman slaps the door and says that line. Whoops. And then she crumbles away. But this is, we get a really nice, cool deep bass here. Probably, I think one of the first of the movie that really you're like, oh, okay. Getting really deep now. At 26 minutes and 14 seconds, True Champion. This is a really fun scene. Dr. Savannah returns for the eye and the sins take him over. And as the eye goes into his eye, well, because it's the eye, but tons of great bass. Sins start smoking and flying around the room. So you get, you know, the whole room is very active. And one I'd definitely show again, that this scene, you definitely would show this scene off to show, you know, show off your theater. The picture quality is really nice too. Much more shadow detail and brighter brights in the 4K over the 1080p. And when I'm saying like the smoke or whatever the sins are when they're moving around, there's a nicer gray to it, it's a warmer gray with more detail in that smoke in the 4K version over the 1080p, I thought. At 31 minutes and 8 seconds, train ride. So this is where Billy gets summoned by Shazam on the train. And much like the car ride earlier, we get, you know, the room starts vibrating like you're on the train, but you get more of that freezing effect around your room. And the train pans down the side of your room. And the train noises pans actually circle the room too. So that's pretty cool. And let me also say that, I love the Christmassy feel of Billy's red sweatshirt and green backpack throughout this movie. But here it was really noticeable because when he's about to get off the train, you could see, I mean, you're looking from behind Billy and he's looking into the wizard's lair and everything. And you see like the backpack and the green, yeah, the green backpack and the red sweatshirt. But another thing that I thought was really nice here is see how vibrant that sweatshirt is in the backpack. But then when he gets into the lair, the lighting changes and it's almost like it's a bluer light in there and that it kind of mutes the backpack and the sweatshirt. And it, again, where you don't get as vibrant of a shot out of the 1080p, it's not as stark of a contrast as when you watch this in 4K, when you see that scene. It's pretty, I really like that. I really noticed a difference once he got into the lair. At 35 minutes and 28 seconds, Shazam. This is the first time Billy says Shazam and turns into Shazam for the first time. Really nice, deep bass shot. Followed by, you know, Solomon, Hercules, Atlas, Zeus, Achilles, Mercury. I could read them all to you as well. The, you know, wisdom, strength, stamina, all that. But each one of them, when they get shot, there's a base shot for every single one of them. Really, really cool. And it's, I mean, just a fun scene. It's like, you know, it's funny too, because the acting that the kid playing Billy does, and then you turn into Shazam, and Zachary Levi is really good, but there's just so much going on here, and almost this entire movie is like that. It's there's so much going on between the story and then the home theater stuff. It's just a blast, and this scene kind of really encompasses all of that. At 39 minutes and 49 seconds, we have Sparkle Fingers. And this isn't when he calls him that, but this is when Freddy actually touches the lightning bolt on Zachary Levi's chest while he's Shazam. And the whole room vibrates like if you've ever used one of those, I guess I call them electrocution tests. I don't know if you've ever seen these, but they're at like amusement parks or at an arcade or something. But it'll be two metal posts coming out and you put your money in to pay to get electrocuted. And you hold on as long as you can, and you're supposed to be getting electrocuted. And it's these two posts are just vibrating like crazy, because if they were electrocuting you, you couldn't let go anyways. So it was a lot like that. This scene reminded me of that, because everything in your room starts vibrating. You start vibrating all while like he's touching that lightning bolt on Shazam's chest. It's really, really nice. It wasn't that long, but it was a really cool effect. At 41 minutes and 35 seconds, Transformer, Zachary Levi accidentally shoots lightning out of his fingers and he blows up a transformer on a telephone pole. Really sharp, crisp, deep bass here that you didn't know was coming. The first time you see this movie, you're not sure what's going to happen. And then just all of a sudden, boom, it's almost like a jump scene without the scare because there's nothing really to be afraid of. But it does kind of just like catch you off guard because it is, like I said earlier, the sound here goes from 0 to 100 like that. And this is one of those scenes. At 42 minutes and 15 seconds, much in the same as like when he hit the transformer, just bam, he goes to hyperspeed and boom, we get that sonic boom and a sudden burst and it just another really cool bass shot. At 45 minutes and 34 seconds, shoot him in the face. And this is another one that it just a lot of fun. Definitely one to show people because it's just kind of funny. You're like, shoot him in the face. So Freddy tells the bad guys, they're at the convenience store and Freddy tells the bad guys to shoot Shazam in the face. Really nice bass here, but check out the sound of the actual guns firing. And when they first start, the camera is looking at the bad guys. When they first start shooting, the sound of the guns firing is appropriately placed at the front of the room. But then as they continue to fire, the camera gets on Zachary Levi's face as a close-up, and you see the bullets like bouncing off of his face. But now, appropriately, the guns are behind you because they're shooting past your vision into Zachary Levi. But now the sound of the guns is behind you. It's really quick effect, something they didn't have to do, but they did it. And that's really, really cool. And you can also hear the bullets landing on the floor, which is appropriately placed at the front of the room. So you might have to flip that back and forth a couple of times to check that out, but it does swirl around and the gun firing starts at the front, but then you hear that gunfire behind you. And then the noises, there is a reflection noise at the front of the bullets, but it is pretty cool. And it's really cool. Actually, I love when they do that. This just little details that most people, watching on their television sets with their crappy television speakers will never know. At 47 minutes and 8 seconds, Philly. This is a beautiful nighttime shot. This is the one I was talking about earlier. Of Philadelphia from behind Freddy and Billy / it's actually Shazam atop the stairs at the Philadelphia Museum of Art. There's some really great deep blacks and some really nice bright highlights like the headlights, the building windows, signs, lampposts, anything that's lit really jumps off. But check out all the different shades of gray too and the intensity of color here. Almost in the upper center of the screen, you can see the upper floors of a skyscraper lighting the fog, and you can actually make out the texture and detail of the fog and the way it's moving across the screen. If I remember right, it's going from right to left. Contrast that with the level of detail in the stone stairs, like the slate stairs. And the black, that's the crevices, the mortar or whatever, around each stone against the different grays and the highlights of light reflecting off those wet, slate stones. It's a beautifully shot scene that I think is reproduced really, really well here. It lots to take in. I actually froze this scene with the shot from behind them to check it out really well because it goes back and forth a little bit. But the HDR here, it just really shows off and there's so much to see. It's really, really nicely shot scene. I really enjoyed that. At 49 minutes and 10 seconds, Billy's back. Another nice, crisp, deep bass note that reverberates through the room when Billy says Shazam and changes back to Billy for the first time. He didn't know that's how you did it. And he just said the name just out of matter of fact. And then boom, he literally boom. And the whole room shakes, the power goes out. It's a funny scene, but really nice bass scene. At 51 minutes and 30 seconds, outlook, not so good. This is another scene that's definitely worth showing off your room. It's just a menacing scene. This is Dr. Savannah goes back to get revenge against his father and brother. Starts with some nice bass and clear highs when he throws his brother out the window a la Mace Windu style. But then the scene moves to some awesome deep bass when the sins come out of his eye and start filling the room around him. They fill the meeting room, but it also fills your room. It really envelops you. The picture quality is fantastic too, and the depth and detail you see is, you know, the smoke and the sins like I talked about earlier. You get more of that. I also felt there was more detail here than when I saw it in the theater. It was just way more crisp. I could make out the sins a lot better here than I could when I saw it in the theater or the last time I saw it in 1080. That would probably be my projector, because even the 1080 version here looked better than what I saw it before. But I also think the red in each of their eyes, the sins' eyes, really popped off the screen too, which is, you know, that's that HDR, because you get such nice blacks around that, but then that red really comes out, really stands out to you. Lots of cool deep bass too, as well, as this scene plays out. And a nice jump scene as you look through the frosted glass and the board members are slammed against the glass trying to escape. So much going on here. It's a fun scene to just get to at, like I said, the timestamp is 51 minutes and 30 seconds, and let that play out. It's just a fun one to watch. Lot going on, and from all aspects, the picture and the sound is just a blast. 55 minutes and 50 seconds. That's not going to buff out. Another quick one here. Awesome sound as the punk's truck falls from the sky and lands. Just great, sudden, deep bass with that crash. Just fun. Nice to see those kids get a little something given back to them. At 57 minutes and 50 seconds, Don't Stop Me Now. This is a Queen video montage of Shazam's using his powers and testing everything out. But your room just comes alive with this Queen's Don't Stop Me Now. Deep bass in the song that you probably won't hear like this in any music, but also some real nice deep bass effects as they test Shazam's different powers. Cool pans as he's shooting lightning from one side of the screen to the other. Sound effects are accurately placed around the room, like when they test fire immunity and, you know, Shazam gets inside a box and then they light that box on fire. Well, that roaring fire is placed perfectly just at the center to the left a little bit. It's like really, really nice. But all of this is going on while the music is playing. And then this is the one I spoke of earlier. The music comes down so that Billy and Shazam and Freddy can actually talk to each other. Then the music goes back up. And when that music goes back up, it doesn't just feel like music's going up and down. It feels like music's going like almost away to the side walls or to the front a little bit. It's going down. But then when it comes back, it feels like it's coming at you into the middle of the room. Check that out. It's a pretty cool effect. It just really stood out to me as they went back and forth and they spoke a couple of times and the sound came back to the middle of the room, not just like loud, but just came back to the middle of the room. Really, really cool. At 1 hour, 9 minutes and 45 seconds, the bus. This is another really fun scene with lots of bass. Shazam causes the bus to crash. Then he saves the bus. But a lot of bass shaking and vibrating the room. Very clear dialogue. Just another demonstration of how bass really should be done in a movie with lightning. Hey. All right. That's enough digs on Ragnarok. At 1 hour, 15 minutes and 50 seconds, floating. This scene here is really cool. Dr. Savannah and Shazam face off for the first time. And obviously you're going to get some really cool effects here, some pans, and we get some great bass. But check out when Shazam falls back to Earth and then the screen goes black just before he's going to hit the ground. And it stays black for a few seconds with zero sound. Then we're hit with this deep vibrating bass as we find out, and Shazam finds out that he can float and fly, but it's just a really cool visceral effect. It's just, everything goes black. Your whole room is dark, no sound. And then all of a sudden everything just starts vibrating. It's just really, really cool. At 1 hour, 19 minutes and 19 seconds, Billy! So Freddy's shouting for Billy in the mall as Dr. Savannah is searching for Billy. And Freddy's voice spins around the room to go along with the camera as the camera is spinning around the mall looking at everybody. And Billy's voice is moving from different speakers as the camera moves around. And I love those old school sound effects because when they did that, they've been doing that for 30 years, just making a sound walk around the room. And it is pretty cool. At 1 hour, 28 minutes and 30 seconds, rooftop epiphany. This is my favorite scene in the movie. Billy just realized who his real family is. His real mom has shunned him. His new family is in trouble. He knows what he's got to do. He needs to take that leap of faith and love someone else other than himself, because if you do that, you might get hurt, but he needs to do that and he's ready to do that. And that leap of faith is coming with this leap of faith, and it's summed up with him jumping off the building. This scene is just so, it's so good. It's very quick, but you get that another nice visual shot of the city and the HDR showing off the rooftop, even against the bright lights of the city. But then when they spin around and they show Billy and he's running at you, you still get a nice, you get nice detail on Billy. You get nice detail around you, around him in the background. The sky is a kind of a blue, even though it's dark nighttime. Everything looks really nice. Lots of detail all over the place. And then, I mean, I couldn't wait for the scene because of the trailer, and that's the trailer that I chose to put in the show. If you go to the show notes, the trailer on you, watch the trailer on YouTube, when he jumps off the building and you get that bass shot, it's a double bass shot. One when he yells it and then when he changes, it's just unreal. I loved this scene. I love what the scene meant. I love the 4K. I love the sound, everything about this scene. It's hands down my favorite scene in the movie. Like I said, it's quick, but I watched it quite a few times, especially on the rewatch, and it was so much fun. I really, really enjoyed this. At 1 hour, 31 minutes and 15 seconds, Wizard's Lair. Dr. Savannah and Shazam are back in the Wizard's Lair. Nice echo effects here as Savannah and Shazam talk. Awesome bass and room-filling sound when the Sins show back up. Lots of circling sound and fun pans as the scene plays out. From here on out, the movie really, really picked. There's stuff like all the way through because now we're getting into it. They're facing off. Savannah's going to chase after them and they get to the carnival and everything, but at the carnival, one of the scenes here at 1 hour, 41 minutes and 10 seconds, we have a slow-mo. So this Shazam goes through one of the Sins in slow motion. But what I thought was really cool is how the bass slows from a thump, which would, like, you'd hit something and you get a thump, but now they go slow motion and the thump turns into a vibration, but the volume and intensity doesn't change. It's a really cool effect. Check it out. But it's the whole room and you vibrate, and it matches with the speed of the scene. And it was really, really cool. At 1 hour, 42 minutes and 50 seconds, Savannah flies off. So this is the scene Dr. Savannah was trying to drown Billy, or actually he wasn't trying to drown him. He was just preventing him from saying Shazam and turning back into Shazam. But then he got shoved. I can't remember how he ended up off of him, but then Billy gets to say Shazam and then Dr. Savannah flies off. But the pan is really cool because it starts and he flies off almost pretty much in slow motion, but he starts off in the middle of the screen and then he goes up kind of like over you and to the right. So you get a really nice pan there. It was pretty cool. At 1 hour, 45 minutes and 23 seconds, Say My Name. This is the scene where Billy asks his brothers and sisters to say his name. And of course they say Billy and everybody laughs. But when they finally say Shazam, that, you know, the Marvel family becomes the Marvel family, but you get a really nice thunderclap that rolls across the top of your room. There's a nice flows out. It's not just a big loud thunderclap for no reason. You actually get a nice thunderclap. That leading to the room filling sound as they basically present you the Marvel family and show each of them in the sound in the room is just really, really cool. At 1 hour, 51 minutes, and 9 seconds, we get a collision. Shazam and Dr. Savannah fly straight into each other and collide with a huge thunderclap that punches you right in the chest. Just tons of bass punches in this scene, all the way through this end scene. Tons of pans, room vibrations. That collision was really strong, though. At 1 hour, 54 minutes, and 2 seconds, Envy. This is when, you know, Shazam gets Envy to come out of Dr. Savannah. And when Envy comes out, your whole room basically just explodes. I think every speaker is active and the bass is at like a 10. It's just really, really nice. At 1 hour, 59 minutes, and 48 seconds, we get a punk pan. So after everything we've been through, that all the climax of the movie, all of the action and tons of pans and everything and explosions and punches in the chest. Well, now we're back in the cafeteria and in come the two punks again. They're making fun of Freddy and they're saying like, oh, you're waiting for your BFF to show up, your imaginary BFF to show up. But as they say it, very subtle, but it does pan across and goes to the left because they come in the center of the screen because they come around a corner. And it goes down and off to the left, and their voices trail off to the left, which is really nice. Again, one of those things they didn't have to do, but they did it for accuracy. And so that's it. The theater viewing time was 2 hours and 41 seconds, and there is a stinger scene at the end. 2 hours, the timestamp on that, if you want to fast forward to it, it's 2 hours, 3 minutes, and 27 seconds, and that has a nice pan of sound that starts at the right and circles to the center screen. The sounds there are Dr. Savannah just like scribbling on the wall, and you just hear that, but the sound actually pans nicely. But then you hear Mr. Mind's voice. He's actually telepathic, and he actually could manipulate his voice in your head to make it sound like it's in different places. That's actually pretty cool from this scene, because that's exactly what happens. The voice starts bouncing around your room from different speakers. It starts in the right rear, but then it goes to all different places in your room, goes back to the right rear, and then obviously goes to center channel when the camera goes right on to him. But yeah, Mr. Mind could do that to you, and it's pretty cool that they put that in there as almost like an Easter egg, but the way it bounces around the room, that was really cool. Definitely worth watching that stinger scene for that. But that's it. That's all I have for this week. What did you think? What's your favorite scene? Did I include it, or is it something else? Because there's so much in this movie. Let me know on Twitter, @BrightsideHT, or you could leave a comment in any of the comment sections on the website at brightsidehometheater.com, or you could email me, brightsidehometheater@gmail.com. Either way, they all work. Great to get any and all comments. Next week is Christmas, so I'll be doing my annual Christmas Eve event where I sit down with my son Joe and we talk Die Hard, just like we did last year, and we're doing it again this year. So let's get a sneak peek of that.
We thank you one and all and wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Happy Holidays, Merry Christmas. Now, why do you think it's a Christmas movie?
It's Christmas Eve in L.A.
The bass was definitely punchier.
The lights throughout this movie, I thought, Christmas were great.
Eve. Yeah. They were on the ball as far as the police cared. They just didn't show up earlier. But
this channel is reserved for emergency calls only.
Lady, do I sound like I'm ordering a pizza?
This movie didn't really have that. It was especially for an 80s movie.
But we were looking at him, so it was coming out of the left side of the room, like it was going by the camera. That was pretty cool.
Mother Coast, we'll get together, have a few laughs.
Can't wait to get that out to you guys. We've been doing that every year since he was little. We talked about it last year, and we're talking about it this year. We love Die Hard, and it's a Christmas movie to us. I know it's not to others, but hey, it is to us, and that's what's important. So that's what we'll be doing. So until then, thanks for listening. Happy holidays, and go push play.